Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Real talk. Real talk. Talk Radio Show. Monday, February 25th, what's going on, everybody? Your hip-hop informer coming to you live out of Tampa, Florida. It is 9:01. Hope you're feeling good. Monday, how was your day? I hope we got off to a good start. Tonight, our topic, black culture and its uniqueness, from our powerful influence to our undying loyalty. The African-American race has fostered and cultivated a resilience that has far exceeded expectations in America. Tonight, we're going to talk about the cultural contributions of the African-American or the black culture here in the United States. If you want to get in on the combo, hit us up, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. Hey, Black History Month coming to an end, but we need you to keep it going. When we come back, kids in sunshine and hot chocolate. Back in a moment. TM Hyman Radio Live.
You got to... She had a little daughter with her, it was cold out. She said, I hate this motherfucker, then she rolled out. He ain't answering his phone, she yells, what the fuck? Then told her daughter, buckle up, yeah, that's for safety. She been stressing lately, cause this nigga she done been with for the past 2 years. It's not a current reason for her last few tears. She text him, text back. When she see him, she be trying sex, him, sex back. His heart be on jet black, she call, he don't call back. All he say is fall back, nigga just need his space. So she headed to his place, cause she just got a call from her homegirl, Rhonda. Who said he be creeping, he been fucking with Yolanda. Yolanda, yeah girl, Yolanda. Told you he ain't shit, but you ain't listen, I was trying to click. Hung up that phone and hop right up in that Honda. Headed to his crib, she said she fed up with this shit. Thought the time this was the one, thought I got better at this shit. Picking out Mr. Right, stick it out through the fights and long nights. For what? These niggas is all alike. She gon' set it off, her daughter gon' witness it all tonight, damn. You got to... She say she just finished school, could barely pay tuition. Now she teaches 7th grade, trying to make a difference. Hey, but the kids frustrate her, say that they don't listen. Her ass like that, how the fuck they supposed to pay attention? I'm fucking with you, but for real, she say they hopeless. A class full of jokesters, creating all the obstacles. Impossible to focus, little niggas barely read. Try to give them what they need, and they don't even try. One little boy, he caught her eye, cause he looked just like a brother. She be having to call his mother, but she act like she don't care. What father, he ain't here. Now she frustrated, thinking that she just made a mistake of her life. Underpaid, be having a waitress at night. 6 years of college, down the drain. Drinking, trying to drown the pain. Party with a girl, feeling sorry for the world. Cause ain't no hope for the youth. Well, ain't that the truth? When all your role models either rapping or they hoop. Damn. You got to...
TM Hyman Radio Live, welcome back, 9:04, Monday, the 25th of February. The month is coming to an end. Just a couple of days left in the month. March is already here. Man, tonight's topic, black culture and its uniqueness. But first, all the way live from Charlotte. Oh, cackalacka, give it up, kid in sunshine. Not in CeeLo Boston, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon in the morning time. How do you do?
I do fine this evening. A little under the weather, but I'm getting over it, I think. Oh, the wait for Plant City. Give it up. It's that cup of hot chocolate. Welcome to the show.
Yes, yes, you'll be representing hot chocolate. You may not like me, but you will respect me.
I know that's right.
Happy no, we Monday. Like you.
Well, I know y'all like, you know, but there's other people in, you know, the universe, and sometimes you really have to remind them, and, you know, that's really all it is. It's a 1-2 step. It ain't a cha-cha, it ain't a salsa, it ain't a merengue bachata. It's a 1-2 step. That's it.
I know that's right. Tell them where you're from, baby.
All right.
We started this show off with a MF and a right at you, you know, out the gate. I just tell you how we feeling this evening.
Yeah, tell me how you feel,
folks, son. You know, I like to give you a warning, folks, when we just gonna come at you like that. But you know, this is an equal opportunity program here, and we respect artistry of all kinds. How about that? It's Monday.
He lets us thug it out every now and then. He does.
Yeah, no doubt. 917-889-3926. We celebrate Black history and Black people and all things Black up in here. And tonight, we just going to get it in. You know, Black culture, African-American culture, what makes it so unique? What is unique? Unique is to be set apart, distinctly different, original, authentic. I think, you know, to be grammatically incorrect, that be us.
That is, and is, as my niece Bam would say, and is.
that be us. What we don't really realize, I think, as African Americans is that, you know, we are Americans of African descent in a faraway place, but our, I think, roots, our values, our beliefs, even though, you know, we weren't able to practice our cultural traditions of African descent here in the United States because things were blended. I think, you know, since the Middle Passage, everything's been kind of blended. But I think the strength of our African ancestry, right, you know, that sub-Saharan African Sahelian culture, tribe thing, you know, still kind of exudes us even all the way over here, you know, in a faraway land. It's the strength. It's our ability to rise. And if you look at it, African Americans, our influence is powerful because regardless of which circle we become a part of, we typically become the leader.
Yeah.
Right.
That is our ancestry that always kind of shines through. That's my belief.
And not to mention right now,
African culture and our uniqueness. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, not to mention right now, the fad, so to speak, is everything culturally characteristic about an African-American person, albeit full lips, you know, darker toned skin, more voluptuous breasts and bottoms. And bottoms are, shoot, you can buy a bottom on it in the bodega almost, like, it's, you know.
Okay.
It's almost like that, where that more prevalent change is something that's more acceptable, where, you know, as the beautiful African-American people that we are, we've all grown up in some way, shape, or form ridiculed because of one of those characteristics now that people are paying to obtain.
Mm-hmm. No, well, absolutely.
And then, too, I mean, growing up, seeing different representation that none of us related to, you know, unless it was like Good Times or, you know, Sanford and Son or whatever. Whereas, you know, I know a lot of people that watched it that had never lived in Chicago nor had lived in California but could relate to the trials that were presented. But it was like we didn't really have any other, like, I guess, role models or
anything else in that respect to relate to in the media, yeah.
Right, you know, and so it's like for a long time, I think, and I found this in the military too, that a long time people based other cultures off of what they saw on TV. You know,
mm-hmm.
if they saw someone that, I mean, because like, for instance, I went in the military in 95, right? And you would think that in 95, you know, it couldn't possibly be anybody in America that hadn't seen a black person before. But
right.
I met people that had never in their life, outside of seeing them on TV in a commercial or something, had never seen a black person, you know, face to face. You know,
right.
or they say, oh, well, the black people lived on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
I'm like, hell, I fell out of place at an all-white school. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and I'm lighter.
Well, I mean, you know, but let's drill down on that reality, though, because, you know, the reality is the African-American culture here in the United States is rooted, you know, to our historical experience. And, you know, I mean, including the Middle Passage. And so a lot of people, you know, were and has been stuck on the fact that, you know, blacks, you know, really just became, human beings in the last 50 years. Then
right.
we were property prior
right.
to, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think younger, you know, the younger generations of specifically Caucasian, Europeans, you know, others, they really just become comfortable with African Americans over the last few generations, just to be honest, right? I mean,
right.
you know, so just think about that whole Middle Passage concept. And if you just tuned in, tonight we're talking about the African American or the black experience and its uniqueness. The triangular trade, which millions of black people from Africa was shipped over here to the New World. Think about where we've come from. From, you know, slaves being sold and traded, you know, for raw materials, which would be transported back to Europe, you know, to complete what was a voyage at that particular time. All about large financial, you know, undertaking, you know, profiting, the building of companies, groups, the profiting of investors, all off the back of African Americans. What a difference a day makes, because, you know, look at how African Americans influence the culture here in the United States and really the culture of the world abroad. Look at our mainstream impact in the world. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the people that helped to pave the way and change the landscape for African Americans here in the United States and in turn internationally, black folks that had global impact when we come back. Again, tuning to TM Honor Radio Live. Back in a moment.
Yeah. Please listen carefully.
Let that rock, yo.
Live free, live life, live whatever life. You do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Right.
Live free, live life, whatever you do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and that fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Let me dim down the lights and put my heart up on my sleeve. Pour out my emotions to your soul for the need. To get closer to the man who woke you up to breathe. Every day is new, so a new opportunity to reach greatness. His grace is amazing. Tell me what is life without trials and tribulation. Going through the heartache, the struggle, the pain. If everything was easy, what love would you gain? The fame, the limelight, material things. To see your name up on the start, claiming you self-made. But it don't mean nothing if it all fade away. Temporary happiness only lasts for a day. The joy that he provides adds peace to your mind. So when you're feeling lost, know he's right by your side. When everybody gone and you're left all alone, when you're picking up the phone and getting it dial tone, he here.
Live free, live life, whatever you do.
Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Right.
Live free, live life, whatever you do. Seek Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home. I'm on a new page, headed to the promised land. Feeling so good, had to bring in my jazz band. Easy does it, no time to get flustered. This ain't the same dude that the world fell in love with. Rapping for Christ, not
giving in the worldly ways, I could be fly. Still get the Lord on my praise. Ain't worried about what he say or she say. Cause 9 times out of 10, he or she is not saved. Nowadays, everybody wanna follow something. Be up in the mix with their clicks, popping bottles free. Ain't judging, to each his own, homeboy. Just doing my job, spreading the gospel of the Lord's joy. The world chewed me up, then spit me out. Then Jesus picked me up, and he showed me what he about. He can open up doors when the yards ain't shut. Just open up your mind, this is food for the gut. He here.
Live free, live life, live whatever you do. See Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Live free, live life, live whatever you do.
See Christ when it ain't nobody around and the fame all gone. Know it's a cold world, but you can come home.
Telling the story the other day, Regina, about the little boy who got smacked, you know, in the face by the guy. And you remember you were saying, like, he was adopted, right?
Yeah.
Well, when I went to the doctor the other day, my mother accompanied me. For those of you that don't know it, my mother's German. I mean, like, pure German, not like, yeah, anyway, German. So when I told her, come on, Mom, I'm ready to go, most of the people that were in there, you know, they were white. And I swear the old lady was, like, staring at my mother, staring at me. And I felt like a little kid all over again from back when I, you know what I'm saying, like when I was a child. And I just, I don't know, but I just blurted out, and I'm not even adopted. and then everybody's face just kind of, like, went, like, from that weird look to a smile to, all right, we don't know what to do next. You know, but the thing is that I'm damn near 40, and I still have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It should be commonplace now in my mind, you know, instead of, you know, looking weird, because everybody is mixed now. I was mixed when it wasn't cool to be mixed. Now everybody's mixed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. We should be able to get over it at this point.
I kind of want to go back to what T. Hyman was saying a little earlier about the way culture or the way, the masses or other nationalities regard our culture and how they see us.
Right.
I'm a little disturbed, I'm going to have to say. I'm not sure if you all heard about it or saw any images of it, but there's a new Black Barbie out.
Yes!
And this Black Barbie has dark skin and an almost platinum blonde weave down to the middle of her back, almost her bottom. She got blonde stripper weave. Wait a minute, and that's not all. And she comes equipped with not one but two Louis Vuitton bags.
Okay.
Now, my thing is this.
What?
I was so disturbed. My thing is this. If Barbie has always been the representation of what a woman was regarded to be, whether it's a white woman, an Asian woman, you know, a woman, a white Caucasian woman with dark hair. Barbie has always been pretty classy to me, even when she branched out a little bit and, you know, started doing bathing suits and all these other accessories. Barbie, trust me, Barbie probably has a Keurig right now. Barbie
right.
has, you know, the 2013, whatever the vehicle is. Last
right.
year, my granddaughter got the Barbie jet with a pool on it. Like, you know, Barbie's large. Don't get me wrong. But
right.
I really don't feel personally that a dark-skinned, platinum blonde representation of an African-American woman for the masses of our African-American children is a fair representation of what we are. You know, and I know we come in all shapes, colors, sizes. I get that part, but that Barbie is not us.
But, yeah, because I want to know where did they get it, because it's posted on my page. Somebody actually sent it to me. And I really would like to know who the model was that they were going after. You know, I mean, could it have been Beyonce? We know that's not her hair. You know, I
right.
mean, she has good hair, but that's not all her hair. So it's like, where did they get that from? Even Black Barbie Christie was, you know, relatively. I know women that look like Christie, the Black Barbie, like
right.
the first ever Black Barbie.
Right, because, I mean, of course, she wasn't a representation of all of us either.
Exactly. Her nose is small as ever. However, she don't even have an Indian bridge in her nose. Like,
she was Barbie dipped in chocolate. That's what they did, basically,
yes.
to pacify us for our request.
Now, would it have made you feel better if the ponytail came off?
No, I would feel better. I would feel better if it wasn't a representation of, you know, a hair weave that most. I mean, okay. Now I'm probably gonna catch an ass crack for this one. Let me tread lightly.
Go for it.
Because we
most
do have a call.
We do. Most African American women these days are staying away from the traditional weave thing. It may be a sew-in of just a portion of it, but now a lot more women are going natural. They're getting away from perms and things like that and chemicals, so it's allowing their hair to grow in a more natural state. So you can have it, you know, wear it full and long or do whatever you want to do, and you don't really have to wear a weave. So
right.
I don't feel like it's fair. And if it's a weave, why is it platinum blonde?
Oh,
right.
I don't know, but put that on
right.
her once. Let's see what this caller has to say. Caller, you are on live. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, peace. Matt Two calling from Michigan. Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
Welcome to the show, sir. What's your comment?
Yeah, I'm just listening. You know, is it possible that some of the expressions of black people in America that we're confusing those expressions as culture versus an expression from a people being acculturated?
Give us an example of what you mean.
Well, for instance, the way we eat and what we eat.
Right. Right. Like the soul
now,
food.
Is that, right.
Right.
That's not, it's not African culture and it's not American culture. It's what
yeah,
we had to eat based
yeah.
off the situation we were in. And I think
right.
to define that as African-American culture, when you look at the definition of what are the elements of a culture, you would have to say that's almost like that's a not a disease, but a reaction to being, you know, enslaved or at war or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
it's an outcome. It's an outcome. I certainly understand what you're saying.
I think that's
an outcome, not necessarily.
Yeah. That's out of.
Yeah.
But you
so
know what,
I
though?
Guess what I was going to ask you all then, and I was just listening to you. So what could you all give me some specific examples of what you see in the black quote unquote community that would represent pure if there's such a thing, African-American culture, and not just, you know, some blowback from, you know, us being here and enslaved. What are some examples of pure, you know?
Wow. That's awesome.
I will give you an example from my perspective. I think mentoring. I think our ability to mentor and I think philanthropy and outreach, I think that is genuinely who we are. We do it off of a reflex because our culture is about, you know, leading and empowering and lifting. I think lifting up one another inherently. I think when you're put in an environment and when you are conditioned to have to war against one another, you know, I think that's a problem. I think that has happened in the United States overall. We're one of the only cultures that really cannot proactively assist. But there are pockets and there are entities and there are people who genuinely help, who genuinely empower. And I think that is something that is inherent culturally from African American, within the African American culture. So that would be my example.
And
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, from my point of view, honestly, the communication like that, I can't really explain it. I can say it like this. The unity, I mean, cause, okay, I know in the media it's made to seem like, you know, all black communities are, you know, most of the people are disheveled or what have you, or, you know, just put in a bad light. Not saying that that's the way it is. I'm just saying how it's portrayed. But I know for certain that I live in a predominantly black neighborhood, mostly homeowners. But the thing is that it's that, like you were saying, that it's like that sense of we don't let each other fall when we're that close. I can't really.
We don't let each other fall.
We have no problem teaching each other when there aren't such negative connotations attached. You know what I'm saying? Like all children that are maybe deemed problems don't necessarily have mental issues or don't necessarily have learning disabilities, but at the same time, that's where the children are pushed towards the black women to raise, the black women to take care of, the black women to care for and nurture. And then, but it's not, I can't.
We are confused. Regina, jump in, please. Save her.
My example was more so going to be within the community and the black family itself as far as our strength. We do draw a lot of strength from what we have encountered, and we draw that strength from within. So as far as us being able to take care of ourselves and other people, as T.M. Hyman said earlier, that it's almost something that's inherent when we think about our community and philanthropy for our community and for others as well. So.
Right. I mean, it's the whole movement to me, that whole black is beautiful idea. You know, that came about, man, like late in the 1800s. That was, you know, I mean, I'm going to say really maybe early 1900s. That was Marcus Garvey, you know. I mean, that whole movement, you know, to bring about the new Negro, because, I mean, that whole black discontentment was real. Race riot, I mean, that whole spirit to me is really who we are. That we're not going to sit down, we're not going to settle. And I think that spirit is what has a black president in office today. Forget about what people are talking about, the Illuminati and all of that stuff, and we're coming to the end of the world and all of that. No, that's black power at work. When we come back, we're going to keep this conversation going. I'd like to talk about Marcus Garvey a little bit more. It's 9:30. We'll be right back. T.M. Hyman Radio Live.
Yes, 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 and we're back. It is 9:33 p.m. on the East Coast, 6:33 p.m. all the way out there in Cali. I am your girl, Hot Chocolate. This is T.M. Hyman Radio Live. On the line with me also is Madam CeeLo Boston out there in Charlotte, North Carolina, where it's getting ready to get cracking for CIAA this weekend, right?
That's right.
Oh, then we got Mr. T.M. Hyman joining us on the line as well. Tampa, Florida, he's feeling a little under the weather, so I certainly hope you feel better soon.
Hey, no, definitely. The caller before the break, you know, asked, I thought, a very good question and made a good point in reference to our reference to black culture. You know, I specifically tonight are talking about things that I think are specifically you know, cultural. And so I want to make sure that we're distinctive, because he asked, you know, about examples of what we were referring to. So, you know, my reference was our resilience, our ability to rise above. And I spoke of, you know, Marcus Garvey, because he's distinctive to me when you think of, you know, I think when people really started to rise way before Martin Luther King now. I mean, people really don't get it. We think that Martin Luther King was the savior, but, I mean, Marcus Garvey, you know, he was really the man. I mean, he actually led the largest movement, you know, of, I think, the largest organized movement, you know, at that particular time. He actually formed what many people may not even be familiar with, the Universal Negro Improvement Association. His concept was, look, let's just go back to Africa. Let's go, just go back where we came
Pack
from.
It up.
And you know, we'd be good. And so, you know, back in, you know, 1919, after he settled in New York City, he organized the chapter of the UNIA, you know, which was earlier found in Jamaica. But he brought it on shore, and hey, he led it, and it made a significant impact in the United States until he died, you know, June 1940. You know, so that whole Black is Beautiful slogan, you know, that originated through Marcus Garvey. And so not only are we a resilient culture because of what we've experienced, I think another example of who we are culturally is our spirituality. You know, our spirituality has a lot to do with who we are. You know, our ancestors, you know, they operated in the spiritual realm, you know, of meditation, and they absolutely knew that there was a supreme being that was going to get them through. You know, prayer was significant, you know, to our culture, and I think spirituality is just as important today. You know, also when you think about the Black culture, you know, things that are specifically and uniquely Black, you know, think about all the innovations in music and art and literature. Even cuisine, when you think about it, talking about food, we talked about food earlier. But, you know, I mean, I say cuisine because it's not just about soul food. You know, there are some African-Americans who can put it down. And the food, you know, ain't all that greasy either. I think that's a stereotype when you talk about soul food, you know. But we're bigger and broader than soul food. I digress.
What?
You're right.
I think that we ran with what was supposed to have been a bad thing, or, you know, like some, like taking a, trying to give us the scraps, and they made the best of it. And then,
well, yeah, of course, we adapted.
They got more money. They still, you know, kept the menu, you know, about the same. But I also remember growing up, most of the peas and stuff were fresh. You know what I'm saying? Like, there were a lot of vegetables that went with the food. So it wasn't just about pig's feet and fat back and all that crap, you know?
Right, right. We learned healthy additions to the not-so-healthy things that we were given to make meals out of.
Who eats chicken gizzards? I still can't eat it. I don't know, but people love it.
No.
I don't eat gizzards of any sort.
I don't even know what it is.
I mean, and not to say that I wasn't there wasn't an attempt for me to be raised on those things, because there were. There's just
right.
certain things as a child, they weren't palatable to me. I remember a story right now where my grandmother, God bless her, love her, miss her to death, tried to dress up a piece of liver as a hamburger. Now, it was pretty. Don't get me wrong. It looked good, but the distinctive smell between liver and just regular ground beef is not one that you can mask. And it did not go over well on the six-year-old, and I can still almost taste it today.
Right, right. No, I was not fond of liver either. I could remember, you know, my mom, she was, you're going to eat whatever I cook. Because we're not in a position to throw away food, young man. You know, so for me, I can remember putting cheese on liver.
I was going to make it work.
Absolutely. I was going to make it work.
Nope. Oh, my gosh. So horrible. Well, we got 20 minutes left in the show. Thank y'all for rocking with us.
Yeah,
it is definitely Money Monday.
And if you missed any part of it, make sure you go back and check out the podcast.
Yes.
Hey, has anyone ever gotten their plasma pulled? Ever gone to get like giving away plasma? Gotten paid for it?
I haven't.
I know someone who has, but never myself. No.
No, me either. That's really
like
big. It is. I mean, exactly. You know, for plasma, and I think you can, you know, do it almost like every day. Well, when you think about plasma, for those who may not be familiar, Charles R. Drew, an American physician, was noted for his research on blood plasma and was the originator of the blood banks. Drew was born on June 3rd, 1904 in Washington, D.C. He graduated from Amherst College in 1926. Think about how difficult that was to graduate from Amherst back in 1926. He became an athletic director, a football coach, and an instructor. He was a chemist and a biologist who graduated also from Morgan State College in Baltimore. Drew later was a professor of surgery, and he was the first black to head the Department of Surgery at the College of Medicine at Howard University. Give it up for Dr. Charles R. Drew. That's an African-American fact up in here tonight. Hey, we'll be right back. It's 9:41.
Here's some new music from Kimya. Get used to it. Let us know what you think about it.
Kim Hyman Live.
Every morning that I wake up to you, it's like I'm dreaming. Am I still sleeping? It can't be true. I waited my whole life just to have someone like you by my side. And now that I got you, boy, I don't know what to do with you, baby, cause your love is true. Gotta get you to leave. Gotta get you to the way that you love me, cause I never had someone that even gave a damn. Gotta get used to it, gotta get used to it, gotta get used to it, the way that you love me, boy. But I know that it's true. To mother guys, only when they want it. They didn't care about my heart, but you care about every bit of me, not just a piece of me, but baby, all me. And I thank God for sending you my way. I'll never let you go. Just gotta get used to your
Radio Live, and that was Kimya with Get Used to It. Hit us up and let us know what you think about that. It's Monday night, and we are talking about Black culture and its uniqueness. And I got my man T.M. Hyman and Miss Hot Chocolate and all you beautiful listeners out there, and I, myself, and Madam Boston, Kizzy Sunshine.
You know what? I don't think we can talk about our culture and our uniqueness without talking about three things in particular, specifically hair, attire, and language, but in the reverse order, starting off with language, the fact that, you know, I think language-wise, think about the variations of dialect. You know, you got Creole, you got Gullah, you know, you got the Sea Islands, you got, you know, that dialect is from the Carolinas, that dialect is from Georgia. It's like a mixture of various, you know, languages that kind of combined into one. It was like a mixture. Ultimately, to be like, I don't know what you're calling it, you know, the African-American vernacular language. I don't know. Standard American English, Ebonics, just a broad stroke. But think about language and how it has evolved, you know, with the mixture of the different dialects.
Well, I mean, I think that the... like people in South Carolina, they sound like they are speaking patois, but it's what you were saying was that you said they're gully or whatever.
Gullah.
I was gonna say, what's gullah? I feel a little gullah myself, like, as well. I don't know what that is.
It's down.
Well, gullah
south.
Is common to the Sea Islands off the coast of Carolina and Georgia, really.
Yeah, and they sound like they're talking patois, but they're not. It's just really country, but it has that choppiness of the island. So, yeah, you have to be around them for a minute to understand what they're talking about. Like, it's definitely nothing you want to pick up.
Certainly you understood by that description the choppiness of the lake.
Yeah, I mean, I got it. I just, you know, I need to make sure. I like to always know what type of surrounding that I'm in. And, you know, in being around our culture, with there being, like you said, so many different variations of our one language, you know, it gets kind of hard to keep up. It was hard for me to keep up when I moved here to Florida from Virginia.
Oh, gosh, I could imagine.
Lord help me.
I remember having a drill sergeant that was from Florida. He was like Clearwater or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I swear, that man, I tell you, fine is all outdoors. I never understood what he's talking about.
That's
one of them,
how I felt,
too. Stare at you.
You're looking at him, but, boo, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, you just smile.
Well, let's move on to attire. Let's move on to attire and how, you know, attire kind of exploded culturally for us back in the 60s. When you think about, you know, man, the Black Arts Movement and just the explosion of different colors and patterns back in the 60s and the 70s. You know, we was dressed to impress. Black is beautiful like no other.
Not afraid to be bold and express yourself.
Correct.
But that's another one of those that came up from, you know, came up from the Depression. I mean, you got to think about the people that were growing up that were teenagers and young adults at that time, which was what, like early 20s, late teens, you know. They had to, most of them, make their clothes, right? Because they couldn't afford to buy clothes for real. So what? They went off the fashion that they saw maybe in the magazines, and they made their own variations of that.
And that's, they absolutely made a lot of that. You know, think about some of that, you know, that vesture woven, that hand woven, them kente fabrics, cloths, you know, those bow ties, those comfort buns, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
I just knew that that the movie Coming to America was going to have us all dressing like royalty. I just really thought it was going to stick. I really did.
That would have been a beautiful
movie. Crown. I was ready.
Crowns and rose petals everywhere.
What? In my little ankle bracelet, barefoot? Come on.
Hey, look, you can still do that now. You don't got to wait for Coming to America to do that.
Kids, the sunshine. What's up? Yeah.
And you can't talk about attire and fashion without talking about hair. And there's no hair like that African American hair.
Absolutely not. They want our kink, they want our curl, they want the strength, the healthy texture of the hair. Yeah, it's a big
deal.
You know
what I think is extremely interesting, and I've seen it a lot here in Florida, but Caucasian people with dreads.
Yeah.
And they take extra time, too, to lock up. They got to get dirty.
Talk about influence.
Well, you also got to keep in mind there's a lot of people of Caucasian complexion that live, you know, that are from the islands, that are, you know, South African and so forth. So, I mean, I think
did you all ever wear wigs? My mom was a wig lady like back in the 80s. And so let me tell you what used to trip me out. What used to trip me out about the wigs that my mom used to wear is my mom had a head full of hair, and she used to wrap up her hair and put on this wig. I couldn't understand it.
That's how you save your hair.
It was a part of just that fly culture. You throw on that big Afro puff wig, and you go out and you make it happen on a Friday night. All a part of just culture.
Another part of the versatility of her culture too. Like, you know, she wasn't afraid to be bold and express herself and switch it up. And yes, she had a head full of hair, but like you said, she wanted her Afro puff. So wrap your own hair up and put your puff on, girl.
I've been trying to wear a wig. I can't keep it on my head, though. It's too, you know, I'm embarrassed to keep it on my wig. I'll snap it off.
I'm a head sweater, and I'd hate to be in an aggravated situation and my head get to sweating and itching, and you patting on it, and then, you know, it gets snatched off because it's too hot. And y'all know me. I just really started growing my hair back. I had a number one guard cut for at least 8 years, so this is really foreign territory to me. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing with this hair.
You said you can't keep your wig on. It definitely ain't because your head ain't big enough. Stop lying. Hey, we'll be right back. You and I already alive.
You have to stand in America right now. None. No lie.
Yeah. True.
I am smoking on that gas. Life should be on Cinemax. Movie. Bought my boo. Bigger than a bigger air. Who he's not I. I smoke strong in that pot pie. Louis V's in my archive. Black diamonds are part-time. Bread up in my top down. On the block with a block out. Hit your ass with that block out. Doping up and going your nostrils. I take your girl.
in my closet. It's probably when he's dead and rapping. It's probably when he don't try me, I pull that fire. Got your car note in my car, and your rent in my swisher. So good, I miss you. Game so vicious. And all I get is cheese, like I'm taking pictures.
I say, f*** it unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real won't miss you. No lie, real, they word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real, they word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real, they true. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. That's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the that is trying to see a million for they got. What up? 2 chains and champagne. You want true? That's true enough.
Yeah.
Forbes list like yeah. My office is my tour bus.
Yeah.
She came through. She brought food. She got. She knew it's up. She think I'm the realest out, and I say, damn, that makes two of us.
Damn.
Oh, that look like what's her name?
What's her name?
Chances are it is what's her name?
What's her name?
Chances are if she was acting up, then I f***ed her once and never f***ed again. She could have a Grammy, I still treat her like a nominee. Just need to know what that pussy like, so one time it's fine with me.
Yeah.
Young ass, an
intern.
The money like I built the shoe. Streets talking, that confirmed. Go ask them who just kept the shoe. They keeping my cup full, so I'm extra charged like a state tax. Me and Chains go way back. We don't talk, we just say facts. Yes, Lord. I say, f*** it unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real won't miss you. No lie. Real, they word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real, they word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real, they true. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. That's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the that is trying to see a million for they die. What up?
Name a that won't summer. I'll rap his ass. I'll trap his ass. Put his ass in a plastic bag with his trash ass. Take him out.
Yikes.
Bring him in them whole things. Tupac without a nose ring. Thug life, one wife, a mistress, and a girlfriend. I did what they say I wouldn't.
Hell.
Went where they say I couldn't.
True.
YSL belt buckle. Y'all show it looking. Y'all show it lacking. 2 chains on my rugby. Left hand on that steering wheel. Right hand on that right hand.
Yeah. I say, f*** it unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real won't miss you. No lie. Real, they word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real, they word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real, they true. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. That's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the that is trying to see a million for they die. What up?
Team Holland Radio Live. Thanks for rocking with us this Monday, February 25th. If you missed it, go back and check us out. We've been talking about black culture and its uniqueness. Hot Chocolate, Kids and Sunshine, T.M. Hyman. And we appreciate the love.
Yes.
Hey, we're back on Wednesday, 9 p.m. We're talking about relationships. This is my question. We'll go ahead and get it started. Women who are successful, successful women, are they ultimately going to be single women for the rest of their lives? There's a segment of women that's on the rise, a population of successful women that are single. What's going on in America? Why are successful women alone? And it's not just women. You know, I think it's successful people that are finding themselves alone, because there's a lot of successful men who are still single as well, or they're married and they find themselves single. Relationships and money, is it real that the more money, more problems in a relationship? And we're focused on women specifically. Wednesday, 9 p.m., women and money and women. Should be interesting.
Serious. That's going to be real serious. Definitely. Well, I just want to make sure that my people know how to get in touch with me. It is hotchocolate757@gmail.com. Questions, comments, show ideas, if you would like to be featured on the show, if you are an up-and-coming aspiring artist, rapper, singer, rock, folk, polka, it doesn't matter. If you think we'll like it, submit it. We'll play it once, at least once. You'll get that shine, but can't guarantee it after that.
No doubt. Folks, take us home. Check y'all back on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Good night.
Yes, good night. Whatever you do, do it well. Check y'all on the other side.
Peace. TM Hyman Radio
Peace
Live.
Peace out. Thanks for rocking with us tonight.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.